I was asked that this shiur should be also for the memory of Rav Noach Weinberg, just passed away last Thursday. I didn't know. When the tzaddik passed away, everyone of Israel should participate in the mourning and the sorrow for another valuable person that we lost. And Yaakov just sent me a link to the new website of Emet VeEmunah, and I saw that he's there already. You put some of his lectures there, or you just put an announcement? I wasn't sure.
Well, we're trying to.
You know, this is now a beginning of a new website that will have Bezrat Hashem a lot of great lectures, and the more website we make, the more people we can get to. That's how it works. And the world has tremendously changed. In the old days, people lived in neighborhoods. They went to the synagogue, to the yeshiva, to learn locally. Today, when people are spread all over the world, we have people from Argentina, from Brazil, from Europe, places that you don't have one Jew there. They're learning Torah more than people who have synagogue in their block through the website, which is very interesting. How do I know? These people get in touch with me. I get all kinds of emails from India, from Turkey, from mamash, many countries, more than 10 or 12 countries that you would not know. People are watching these websites, and one website leads to another, and Baruch Hashem, there's more and more speakers, and that's very good. So, emetveemunah.com, right? That's the website? Emetveemunah.com?
Novi.
Emetveemunah.com. Emet is the truth, emunah is faith. They both go together, emet and emunah. Part of the emet is that we have to have emunah in Hashem, and we spread the word of Hashem everywhere. Tonight, I was asked to speak about spiritual creatures. When we speak about spiritual creatures, first thing comes to our mind is angels, demons, you know, souls of people that are not in this physical world. Obviously, everything we say, it's an integral part of the Torah. It's right in the Torah. When we review the Torah, we see clearly that angels exist. Where? Inside the text of the written Torah, we see that the angel of Hashem, he came to Avraham Avinu. What did he tell him? Don't slaughter your son. When Hashem gave him the test, God himself came to Abraham and told him, "Kach na'et b'incha et yechidcha. Please take your dear son into the mountain that I will show you." You know the story. But when he passed the test, Hashem didn't bother to tell him, "Don't do it." The positive things to do a mitzvah came from Hashem. To stop him from doing the mitzvah, Hashem doesn't have to tell him, "Come, stop the mitzvah." He sent an angel. An angel is a messenger. Every time you hear the word angel, you know an angel, it's like a robot. A robot is programmed. You program him to walk, to jump, to make noise, to fly, according to what you need him to do. That's how you program him, right? They have now robots that make laundry, waiters. The world is getting advanced. Soon, not that we need them really. They're making us more damage than they're helping us. Why? Before we got into technology, before the technology was so developed, 20, 30 years ago, there was much more jobs for people. Today, when we have computers, and today you're speaking to the computer, you're not really speaking to customer service, press 1, press 2, press 3. So it's very good for the companies because they can fire everyone. It saves them a lot of money. But it's really not good for society. Just now, somebody told me that he was calling all kinds of people, and almost every person he called today, they all say, "We're depressed, we've got fired, we lost our job." He made so many phone calls today, almost every person he spoke to lost his job. This is here, and supposedly the strongest country in the world financially. It's also by me like this. Every person who calls me is looking for a job, is in between jobs, is sometimes I wonder why people go to college bichlal. What for? To spend money more and more and more with a chance, one to who knows, to a million, that they find a good job with this? I wonder. Everything in life, you have to foresee the future. Knowing the future, predicting the future in the right way, it's like making a good investment. Where are you heading with your investment? Investments, it's all gambling. But there are two kinds of gambling. There's gambling with a high chance and gambling with very low chance. Not that it's not possible. It's possible, but what's the odds? What's the chances? Are very low. Today, to go to college and get a degree, thinking I'm going to be a successful businessman or anything like that, has much, much less chances than before. In the old days, people knew that once I graduate, my chance to become somebody making money, it's very high. They need people like me. They need computer engineers. They need programmers. They need a lot of doctors. Now, the opposite. Those who are already experienced ones, lawyers, doctors, engineers, architects, all kinds of people, they lay them off. That's what happened. Technically, if a billion people will not die in the next few years, the world will have a very serious problem. Technically. Of course, Hashem is running the show according to his choices and wishes. And it's all based on the way the people behave. We bring it to ourselves. But I'm now talking just naturally. Put the emunah aside for a minute. The supervision of Hashem, which is very hard to see how it works. Just put it on hold for a second. Just naturally, for those who live like animals, they have no Hashem in their life. The only way that their world will get saved if a billion people will die. The world have about 6.5 billion people. If 1 billion, which is about 15% of the people in the world, will die, then it will give a boost to the economy in the world. All the jobs that people lost, basically these people will not be here. But what is the chance that something like this will happen? It could be an epidemic. It's very interesting. If you remember about 8 years ago, they started a disease called SARS. It's an epidemic. And people started, it's contagious. People started to get SARS. They died. Also, you have the chicken flu. Chickens get sick, and it makes a lot of people die. Those diseases have a very high chance to kill millions of people or tens of millions of people. 50 years ago, it used to be an epidemic. People used to die. Millions of people used to die. They didn't have a cure for it. SARS is a big... It's a big miracle, SARS, that it stopped. I don't know how it stopped. It's mamash a big miracle. Why? Because people will get it just by breathing. A person goes into a store, he has it, he breathes over there. The next person who stands next to him can catch it through the air. That's the dangerous ones. Most sicknesses today, people here either have to have a sexual relationship or a blood transplant or anything like that. A real physical contact to get it. If you have a cut by the dentist, things like this, which is very, you know, it's rare. Breathing it, it can be 100 million people get it in less than a month. I don't have to tell you. You go to one department store, almost everybody catch it in an hour. And then they go to another 20 department store, everyone there get it. They go into the bus, everyone in the bus almost get it. It's going to be a disaster. I don't really know how it stopped. It's hard to believe. All of a sudden, it died out. Something like this, usually when it starts, only Hashem knows where it's going to end. Maybe it was just a warning. Maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu just sent a warning what can happen to the world. First, he always sends a warning, and then it becomes a larger warning. And then a strict one, and a stricter one, until Chas V'Shalom, the Holocaust comes. We don't know. But technically, that's really the only way that the world will get saved, right? There's too many people to feed. There's not enough jobs. There's not enough food in the world, processed food. To process food, it's not enough just to put weeds in the ground. You need fields, you need places, you need enough trucks. It's all a chain reaction. The world is not set to feed so many people. There are many places in the world that they have 17 kids. They just bring them to the world. They live in very, very horrible poverty. People live without food, without shoes. They live on the streets. They sleep in tents. You see it everywhere you go. So this is the situation in the world. In America, nobody really expected to have such problems. If you remember my last 3 or 4 lectures here, usually we meet once in a while, like let's say every month in an average. Every month I told you what's going to happen. Unfortunately, I was right. Look, remember the first lecture? That things still were very good. The banks are all down. Every major company in America is struggling not to go bankrupt. There's hardly one company in America that can say they do well. There's hardly, you cannot find from millions of companies. 40% of the businesses this year alone will go bankrupt. That's what they said, the economists, 40%, which means every 100 stores you see on the street, 40 of them will not be here by the end of 2009. Not only that, now my next thing to tell you is, everyone who were told by his dears and his experts, now it's the time to buy a house. Now it's the time to buy a house. Houses that used to be $1 million, now you can get it for $500,000. That's a very good reduction in 1 year, no? A year ago it was $1 million, now it's $500,000. Don't jump. In a year or two from now, it's going to be $50,000. Same houses. Check me if I was right or wrong in 1 year from now. How do I know? Believe me, Hashem doesn't come to me in a dream and tell me the future. Listen to the lecture in 2007 when everyone was booming in real estate. I already said what's going to happen to all the banks. How did I know? Very simple. You just calculate what's going to be. How you calculate? It's very, very simple. Most of the people in America make between $30,000 to $60,000. That's the average Americans. The banks the government lowered the interest rate to 1% from 6, 7, 8 that it used to be. It went down a lot. It was very easy to get a mortgage. They didn't check how much you make, no income mortgage. Your credit didn't have to be the best in the world. Everyone got mortgage. Based on the fact that most people in the world are crooks and thieves, and that's the truth, most people are crooks. They're not honest. From every 10 people, 9 are stealing and cheating and don't pay their bills and late on their payments and make all kinds of lies and don't return merchandise that got to their hand by mistake. How many righteous Jews you have compared to 6.4 billion? Not that many. So the point is that people naturally already will take advantage on every opportunity they have to steal. They got mortgages from the bank, all kinds of loans or equity with very low interest. Just when they announced they're going to start raising the rate, that moment I knew this country is going to go completely down. Why? Because if a person makes $4,000 a month, and now he took a mortgage on a house, the prices of the houses went down because interest rate is very low. So people bought houses that worth, it could be $1 million, but they only pay $2,000-$3,000 a month on a $1 million house. Never been something like this in history, that you buy a $1 million house and you pay less than $3,000 mortgage. But what would happen? Once they raise the rate by 1% only, then it jumped from 3,000 to 4,000. They raise it by another percent, it would be already 5, 6, double. Where exactly is the person going to bring double? Put on top of it the energy prices that went up 4 or 5 times higher. It used to be $150 for a house, for heat and electric, and it jumped to $700. Where the people will get the extra money? They just don't have where to get it from. Multiply it by tens of millions of Americans who gave them the loans, same major banks. And when people stop paying you their money, you yourself go down. That's how it works. So then it was already obvious that this balloon is on the way to come down. However, even myself, I never dreamed that it's going to get to a situation that people will be starving to death. That's what's going to happen now. When everyone gets fired and nobody can buy a house anymore because nobody will give him a mortgage, even if his credit is pretty good. And when the banks are fighting for their life and there's not going to be development of anything new because it doesn't pay, because you don't know if tomorrow you'll be in business or not. When the government prints money faster than they print toilet paper. You know, when they make money, you know how much money they print? The future looks completely black, not gray, black. So now what do we have left? We, the Jews, the ordinary Jews. One person told me, well, for me there's no nafkamina. For me it doesn't make a difference. Why? I live every 6 hours, I need a miracle to survive. I have 10 children. I live in a little apartment here in Yerushalayim. Anyway, now I do not know what's going to happen by the evening if I have dinner for my children. I'm depend on the next miracle between now and the evening. What can be worse? So I told him, believe it or not, it can be a lot worse. At least you have a place to put them to sleep. You have no idea what's going to happen. I hope you're opening up your eyes to see. So we have only one solution. Since this material world, the infatuation of this illusion is already here, and we realize it's all an illusion, we have only one thing we can gain out of this life. One thing is to gain mitzvot. That's it. It's to convince another Jew to keep Shabbat, to put tefillin, to put mezuzah. Even now, I see that people don't have money to buy mezuzot and tefillin. Baruch Hashem, Hashem gave me the merit to make people religious, and they come to a few lectures and they now become Shomer Shabbat. Then what's the first thing a person that becomes religious wants? A pair of tefillin. He doesn't have $600 to buy tefillin, even though if it's half a price already from the real price, because it's very, very high quality one. Most people don't have the money. I cannot sponsor tefillin for hundreds of people. So what happened? A Jew wants to put tefillin, even for that, he can't get the money. And when he goes to people to borrow, to lend, everybody answers him the same answer. We don't know what's going to be tomorrow. We don't have any money. Business is bad. We don't make money. Our tenants in the building don't pay rent. You understand what's going on here? Now what happened when people used to make a lot of money and now they don't make anything? Or they make very little? It's affect their personal life. It's crisis in the marriages, problems with raising children. The yeshivot that's supposed to give education to these Jewish kids don't have money to survive. They also go bankrupt. By now, most of the yeshivot in the world didn't pay salary to the rabbis at least 10 months. They're behind. And the rabbis have, some of them have 10 children. They also pay rent or mortgage. It's a chain reaction. Almost every yeshiva are behind 10 months. Large organizations that make seminars and they have speakers, the speakers didn't get paid from last March. That's what they told me. One of them is a famous speaker in New York. I don't want to say his name. He's a good speaker. And he said, I'm on my own. The organization used to pay me a salary. Now I got to bring my own money. Which means I'm not going to be able to give lectures unless these people are going to pay me a lot of money for that lecture. If not, I have to go to work. I can take 10 hours of my day to prepare it, to drive, to come back, to be there, to answer the people. You know, tomorrow they're going to call, they send emails, it takes me hours of time. People think a lecture is you come, you speak 2 hours and you go and it's over. No. It's to prepare, it's to drive there, it's to return home. When you get home, you have a lot of emails, people send, people call questions, text messages. It can be a week later. It's a chain reaction. It's a follow-up. People have questions. Okay, I got convinced. I want to start. Where do I go? What books do you recommend me to buy? Where should I go learn? I live here and here. You have to give them a treatment. So even this is getting offended. Even to give out this, which is only $1, it's almost impossible. I can count on one hand how many people are helping me to distribute these DVDs in the entire month. Less than 5 people. Should have been hundreds of people. Because we're not asking for millions of dollars. It could be 100, 300, 500. Nobody wants. So I say to you, since a person is already lost anyway, situation is so bad, the little that you have, at least you make mitzvot with that. Because you don't know. You're here today, tomorrow you're not going to be here. One thing is for sure. When you go over there, there's only one thing you can take with you. Is how many mitzvot you made. The rest, it doesn't matter. Between me and you, in the world that we live in today, if a person died age 60 or 80, does it make that much of a difference? In a physical way of speaking. Forget about spiritual. Physically. So he lives another 20 years and he ate a little bit more. He slept a little bit more. He had another 20 years of aggravation. Another 20 years of struggling, fighting for his food. Not to talk about now, life will be impossible. Why? You have no idea how much crime it's going to be now. You won't be able to walk safely on the street. Why? If you have a city like Brooklyn that you have 10 million people here, and 5 million of them are starving for food, and they come home and their children don't have bread to eat, because they're already fired for a year or two and they can't find a job, and they have expenses, and the bank is about to throw them to the street, to the shelter. What is going to do exactly? Is going to see you driving your nice car in Ocean Parkway, in case you still have money? It's going to take it away from you. Remember, some of them hate you to begin with. Even when they're wealthy, they hate you. Add on top of it the fact that he's hungry and you have money, he's going to come with a gun to your head. Somebody here in Brooklyn told me in 2 weeks there were 3 armed robberies in his block. In 2 weeks. When he's many years he's in that place, there was no robberies over there. 3 times in a gas station, in a grocery store. And how much they steal from this store? $500, $800. A person risks being 20 years in prison to steal a few hundred dollars to survive another week. Why? Until now, a criminal had a lot to lose. If he do an armed robbery and he get caught, what's going to happen? He's going to go 7-8 years minimum to prison for that, using a gun to rob a few hundred dollars. Even if you rob $50 with a gun, that's it. You have years in prison. All these people, we know who I'm talking about, right, that doing these things, they have nothing to lose now. What's the worst can happen? The police will catch him, they'll put him in prison, he has heat over there for free. The television's loud everywhere. Cannot afford now cable. Doesn't have money, $60-$70 a month for that. Doctors over there for free. Food for free. He has a room, everything for free. My life for him in prison will be much better than the life that he has right now where he lives. He has nothing to lose. And if it's not better over there, it's just the same. What do you think? That's the situation. All these foreign workers that came to work in America 15 years ago used to be 2 or 3 lives in an apartment, sharing an apartment. Why? The rent was $600. Each one of them paid $200 a month. They live. Now there's 17 people in one room. No room. They cannot move from the mattresses on the floor. Why? Nobody makes money. And it's very hard. And there are a lot of wounded animals walking around us. That's what happened. And when they are wounded, they are very dangerous. That's it. So now, after what I said, can you show me one positive thing that we can look for? No money, no business. Antisemitism is rising thousands of percent after this last war anyway. No mood. Depression. The yeshivot are going bankrupt. Hashem Yirachem. It's impossible to raise children. The crime go thousands of percent higher every month. So this is what the Torah says. There will be times like this. What's the advice of Hashem when times like this come? En lanu al mi lismoch, ela al avinu shebashamayim. You say like this, Hashem, I surrender. I cannot make money. I cannot do anything. Even to put tefillin, I need your help. That's the situation right now. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will bring us and all the people around us, whether they love Hashem, whether they're against Him, whether they love the Torah, whether they're against the Torah, everyone in his level to admit every day that I live, it's a miracle. Every day that we have what to eat is a miracle. Every share that I can afford to buy, it's a miracle. Having a car, it's a miracle. Who thought it's a miracle that he has a car? Who thought it's a miracle that he can afford to light the light bulbs in his room? People took it for granted. When a person was sick, he thanked Hashem, he thanked the doctors. But now he won't be able to afford the doctors. Many people don't go to doctors because they can't pay the bills. People are dying because they don't have money to pay the doctors. People break their hands. The doctor wants $1,500 just to see them, besides the x-rays. They just don't have it. Made them walk all month. They don't make it. So guess what happened? They're not taking care of their bones, and they suffer for the rest of their life because they couldn't pay a bill. Most people in America cannot afford to pay health insurance. And the Medicare soon is going to go bankrupt anyway. They don't have enough to pay for all the people. Food stamps, they're going to run out of money. Social Security, people save all their life, and then they become older, and then they're going to tell them, we're sorry, the country is bankrupt. California, it's bankrupt already, you know that, right? They already told the government, we ran out of money. We cannot fix roads, we cannot fix pipes, if there's going to be explosion, water damage, police, we don't have money to pay. If the government will not give them billions of dollars, Schwarzenegger already told them, we're bankrupt. California is bankrupt. California is a big part of the United States. And over there, you have a lot of business. You understand? Now you see the stock market and all the rest. And Hashem Erachem. As I said a year ago, this is the hardest crisis from the creation of the world. The hardest. It's true. In Egypt, you have 7 years that everyone was hungry. There was no food all over the world except Egypt. But Egypt was a wealthy, strong, financially country because they prepared in advance. Now, which country is strong? Can you name one country that is solid? Nobody. So now that leads us to believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is preparing us finally to the days of Mashiach. How Hashem will be able to save many Jews when the Jews will be wealthy and sleep well at night and not worry about anything, or when every Jew will have to scream to Hashem 3 times a day to have a piece of bread for his children? When the Jews will be closer to Hashem? In situations like now, or when everyone used to do great business 10 years ago, 5 years ago? When do you think? A father that wants his children to be in touch with him, he doesn't send them money for the entire year in advance. If they're in college, he sends them every week or two a little bit money. Why? If he sends them $50,000 for the whole year, he won't hear from them until the next year. He's partying, pizza party at 2 o'clock at night in a college. He needs his father. When does he need his father? Dead. The credit card is already maxed. Did you pay the bill? Ah, you remember me. Very good. Nice to hear from you. This is us. When a person screams to Hashem, Hashem, what do you want from me? What, you want me to be on the street? Don't I put tefillin? Don't I learn Torah? What? He begins to scream. I have a friend. He has a problem. He goes into the room. He begins to cry. Speaks to Hashem 10, 15 minutes. 2 or 3 days later, a miracle happened. Always. What made it happen? The tears. What do you think? It's a joke. Sha'arei dima lo ninalu. Tears, the gate of tears never got locked up. It's still open. Sometimes the prayers are delayed. The person is full of stealing and full of lashon hara and full of all kinds of other sins. So when he prays, he puts his hand like this in poteach et yadecha. The hands are so dirty from stealing and all kinds of things. Hashem says, you're better off not open your hands. You put them in your pocket. It's better. Poteach et yadecha. Go like this with your hands. Don't do me a favor, Hashem says. Don't go like this to me. It gets me very upset to remember who you are. No? Anybody can raise his hand and say, I'm 100% honest in my business. I never lie to the customer. I pay all my bills on time. I don't cheat. I don't lie in the business. That's it. Let's go back to the subject that we wanted to speak about. Hashem created in this world angels. Each angel has his territory, is in charge of something. One angel is in charge of medicine, sicknesses, cure. That's his territory. One angel is the angel of death. He is in charge of taking souls out of people's body, Jews and non-Jews. When a time for a person arrives to die, Hashem decides on Rosh Hashanah what day of the year this person is going to die, what time, what minute, what second, and what place. It's pre-decided. The last day of the life of a person, he doesn't have a free choice. If he's supposed to die in Ocean Parkway, corner of Ditmas, whether he likes that place, whether he doesn't like it, he's going to find himself that day, 5 o'clock, 5:03 and 21 seconds, he's going to find himself in that place. Because this is what Hashem wrote in Rosh Hashanah, this is the last moment of your life, is in this corner of that city and of that state. This is the way it works. Only the last day of the life. Raglav shel adam arivot lo. The legs of the person takes control of his day. They take him over to the place where he has to go. Why? That's it. His time arrived to go to the next world. Which angel is going to take out his soul? The angel of death. How does he look? He's huge, full of eyes, millions of eyes. And he has one arm with a sword. Sword. Remember, an angel, it's not physical. It has an image. But you can, if you try to touch it, you go on nothing, because it's like an energy. It's like a soul. It's like a spiritual image. And with that sword, the Torah says, this is how we remove the souls of the people from their body. And in the end of that sword, there is one drop. If the person is wicked, he put this drop inside his mouth, and he grabs his soul out, and it's very painful, that moment, for the person. And this drop makes the body stink a few hours later. And if he's a righteous person, he doesn't suffer when the soul comes out. Not only that, sometimes this is extra righteous. The angel of death has empathy to him. And he even tells him, relax. I heard already that Hashem is preparing a very special place for you. But this is only for extra righteous people. Most people don't have that merit. Then we have angels that are in charge of nations. The angel of Israel, the angel of Ishmael, the angel of Esav, of 70 different nations. Today we have more than 70 nations because nations broke into many. Many nations belongs to one angel because he's in charge of these descendants. Then we have an angel that is in charge of the water in the world. So when Hashem wanted to split the ocean, when Bnei Israel went through, that was his job. He comes and he split the ocean. Everything in the world connects to water. It's under his territory. We have angels that are in charge of sand, the earth. Angels that are in charge of the grass. How the grass grows, believe it or not. So everything in the creation has an angel that is in charge of it. This is what Hashem says in Yetziat Mitzrayim, in the Exodus of Egypt. I myself did the job, not the angel. So an angel was in charge of it. But the specialty of Yetziat Mitzrayim is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself came and took us out. Ani ba'atzmi, ani velo malach, ani velo saraf. That's what we say in Leil HaSeder. We read it in the Haggadah. That Hashem himself did the job that could have given to one of the angels to do. Then, besides the angels, we have demons. What we call in Hebrew, Shin and Daled, two letters. These demons, there are different kinds of demons. Why Hashem created the demons? This is also a spiritual thing. They have different things that they do in a creation. I'll give you an example. What the Gemara says. Tanu Rabbanan. Shisha dvarim ne'emru bashedim. There are three special things about demons. Shlosha kemalachei asharet. Veshlosha kibnei adam. Three are like the angels. They are completely spiritual. And three, like human being, the spiritual and physical combination, like us. We are also a soul and a body. Those demons are also mixed. The ones who are like the angel, the three categories, they have wings like the angel has. Their images is with wings. And they fly from one side of the world to the other side of the world like the angels do. A part of the prayer that we say when we go on the way, it's a part from the Chumash, Ki malachav yetzave lach lishmorcha baderech. Hashem says that when a Jew is on the way, he sends the angels to protect him on the way from all kinds of things. They are in charge of things that happen. Another part in the Torah is that Bilam, the wicked prophet of the Goyim, Bilam, walks with his donkey on the way to Balak. Okay? And what happened? He sees that the donkey is getting nervous, jumping left and right, running to the side of the road, to the wall. He beats up his donkey. He doesn't see what the donkey sees. And only later, the angel revealed himself to him. So what do we learn from this story? This is right in the text. One thing we learn is that animals can see spiritual things that we cannot see. That explains why sometimes you sleep in the night in a room or you sit in your living room. You have a dog or a cat, and it's a very silent night. All of a sudden, the dog or the cat is jumping, crying, running around in the house like crazy. And he looks up like this with his head, and you look around, and you don't understand what happened to him. Try to relax him, and he's barking and crying and jumping and running around. What's going on here? The lens of the eyes of the animals, it works with different frequency like the eye of the human being. Hashem gave the animals permission to see, the eyes of the animals, to see certain things that are in space, in the air. We do not have the ability to see it. The Holy Zohar, the Kabbalah, says that if a Jew, a person, not necessarily a Jew, if a person would be able to see 1 second what exists around him in the air, 1 second, if he had permission to see 1 second what's right here in the room, spiritually, he would go crazy immediately, and that would be the end of his life. Then, of course, everybody would run to the yeshiva for the rest of their life and never step out 1 minute. But that would eliminate the free choice. What's the point here? So everyone became a yeshiva bachur. Everyone wants to sit and learn Torah. Everyone became righteous in 1 second. Nah, that's defeat the purpose of the creation. Hashem wanted the people to earn it with free choice. Allowed, not allowed, difficult, a test. Where is the promises that Hashem promised? I don't see it coming through. If everything will be so clear, even the goyim run to the yeshiva. Where is the test? So that's why Hashem didn't want us to see what's around us. What we could see, if we would be able to see what the dogs and the cats see, what we would see, we would see angels. Some of the angels are very scary. We would see souls of people that died and are flying from one side of the world to the other. Wicked people, not righteous people. Wicked people, they are angels that are taking care of them as a part of their punishment. That's before they enter hell. Before. Hell, it's already dry clean for the soul, cleansing the soul from all the spiritual dirt that the soul got from all the sins in his lifetime. That's what hell does for him. So in a way, even though it's very painful and not pleasant, at least you achieve something. It's like having a terrible surgery with all the pain and all the needles and all the chemo, whatever you want to call it. At least you achieve something. It cures you in the end. It purifies you. Which means, with all the pain, at least I achieve something. But kafa kela, that's something much worse than hell. That's called, the Torah says, ve'et nefesh ha'rasha iklaena be'kafa kela. The wicked people, Hashem put them in the hands of these cruel angels, and they have something that's called slingshot. Like David HaMelech and Goliath, How he shot the bone right into his forehead, which tool he used, which we call slingshot. So the angels have a slingshot. It's all spiritual. They take those souls and make them fly from one side of the world to the other and don't give them 1 second of rest for the extra wicked people. I don't want to tell you the description of other things that happen to these people because it's really, really scary. But we would be able to see these people. And if we would see one of them, we would know never to make one more sin in our life, not even one little one. We won't be lazy anymore. We won't be stingy. We won't be angry. We won't. You know why? Because when you see you pay the price, it's actually right in front of your eyes. You're not going to dare to do it. You're going to dare to steal. You're going to dare to lie after what you just see. You just see somebody that was like you a year ago. Look what happened to him. You're going to dare to do what he used to do? No. But that, again, eliminate the free choice. The Gemara in Masechet Brachot says, there is a way to watch all the spiritual things in the earth for a person to see. How? He takes a black female cat, black cat, female, daughter of a black female cat. So we have cat, daughter of a cat. Both black, both female. You take the placenta when they give birth, the female, like a woman. She has the placenta. The doctors take it out in the hospital and they throw it. The cats, they also have it. They take the placenta of the cat after giving birth and burn it and take the ashes of this placenta, it becomes ashes, and it puts on the eyes of a person and he opens up his eye and he sees everything. But of course, he has to get life insurance before and disability insurance before, because that will be probably the last second that he's able to function. No, no joke, guarantee. He won't be able to function after that, he won't be able to move. It will be freezing, froze. The Gemara say one of the rabbis was very curious and he did it. One of the greatest rabbis. In the Gemara it mentioned, Masechet Brachot, first chapter of Masechet Brachot. The Gemara say he did it and of course he fell to his bed and he couldn't function anymore. All the holy rabbis came and prayed around his bed, until Hashem had mercy on him and cured him. But what you see, that even such a holy person in the highest level you can think of, when he saw what's happening in space, it drove him crazy. He couldn't move. That's it. So, this is part of it, is demons. Then the Gemara in Masechet Brachot also says that if a person wants to see the foot trap of the demons, their legs is like the roosters. They have 3 toes. Triangle. If a person wants to see how they come and climb on you when you sleep in the middle of the night, they walk over the person. He takes clean sand and pull it, ashes, but very, very smooth ones, and he puts it around his bed. And in the morning, he will see traps, looks like rooster traps around his bed. This is how people used to do it in the old days. There are Muslim countries, there are all kinds of magician, mekashfim, they do kishufim, and there are many people. I met 2 people from Persia that when they used to live over there, they used to go to the Muslim mekashef, and they used to see demons mamash, eye to eye, in his basements. For the kishufim they used to do. Mamash, they see how they look, how their head is covered. Mamash, amazing. The images, 2 different people that don't know one each other. And they both told me, I saw it in my own eyes. Now, if you don't believe them, let's see what the Torah has to say. 3 are like angels, 3 are like people. The ones who are like angels, they have wings and they fly from one side of the world to the other. They know the future because they hear the announcement that Hashem makes. Me'achorei ha'pargod means beyond the scenes. They know things that we do not know yet. So they know that next year real estate will go down or will go up, oil will go up, oil will go down. Maybe we'll hire one of them to make some money in the stock market. Before he will tell you the secrets of the stock market, he's going to choke you to death. That's for sure. He's not our lover, this demon. So now, he says like this. They have the ability to change the image of their face according to their wish. If they want to look like a rabbi that we all know, they look like him. If they want to look like an animal, they look like an animal. Those demons are the ones who visit us in our dreams. We'll talk about it soon. So, next time when you dream about the Baba Sali, there are two possibilities. Either it was really the Baba Sali, it was one of these demons that came to you and play games with you and tell you all kinds of nonsense. How we know to tell when it's real and when it's not? Sometimes people are so excited. I saw Rabbi Akiva in my dream. Don't be so happy. It could be Rabbi Akiva that his name starts with Shin and then Dalet. He just comes to you as like Rabbi Akiva and pretend it's him. So, they look like any image that they want, they are able to see, and we cannot see them. They see us, and we cannot see them. They don't have jealousy, hate, anger, none of these things. They're not like us with free choice that we have bad traits that we have to correct. They are like robots. But they have certain permission to do certain things. The free that are like people, they eat and drink like people. They also sleep, they need to sleep. And they also have to make exits to their body. They have to go to the bathroom for the things that they ate. That's what mutual between them and us. The rest, they are similar to angels. And they also multiply with male and female. And they die like people. They have X amount of time that they survive and then they die. It's very interesting. But remember, they don't have a free choice like us. They don't have reward and punishment. They have to be righteous or wicked. They don't have Torah. Be careful, you should not do, you should do none of these things. It's like robot. Hashem created him, he has a job here in the creation. The Ramban, in his translation to the Torah for Bereshit, for the beginning, the Ramban says like this. In the creation, in the beginning of the creation, all the creatures were created from four foundations. Fire, air, water, and sand. And they were created in a physical body with five senses. That's us. But on the other hand, there were creatures who were made from two foundations only, not four, two. Fire and air. Those are the demons. Fire and air only. No sand and water. The ingredients in the creation of us, we have four different foundations. They have only two. And therefore, the body is also more spiritual than us. Us is more physical. And we won't be able to detect them with our five senses. What can you detect with your five senses? Only things that were made with four foundations. Something that made only with two foundations, you cannot detect it. That's why we cannot see them. In my lecture, Life After Life, some people took pictures of their friends, and when they developed the pictures, they saw other images in the background of people who died already. Some of the people they were able to recognize. Pilots from a unit in the army, they took pictures, and in a picture they saw a person that just died 3 days ago from a propeller of an airplane hit him in his head, and he died 3 days before they took the picture. When they took the picture, they saw he's right there, in between two pilots. His face is right there. But it wasn't a physical body, it was his soul. How, when they took the picture, they didn't know he's there, because the eye couldn't see him. But the lens of the camera works in a different frequency. or video camera, or camera, or even digital camera, works in a different frequency than the eye. So they can see what we cannot see. That's very interesting. Yes?
So he was
he was still here. This is a little bit hard to understand why certain people are coming here, why some of them are not coming here. According to the Zohar, when a person dead, when a person died, 1 week is still here. That's why we see Shiva on him, because he's still here around us. He's not just here, he's going back and forth from the grave to the house. That's it, for 1 week. After a week, he has no more connection to this world. But the soul, since it's an energy, and energy can go slowly, slowly, not in one shot. The last month of the life of a person, his soul begins to leave him. A little more and a little more. Some of this energy can be divided to two different or three different places. For instance, a part of the soul, we don't have an understanding of how does it work exactly, because this is all very deep Kabbalah. A part of the soul goes to the grave and stays there forever. That's why we go to the righteous tzaddikim graves and we pray over there. Why? We talk to the wall? We talk to the stone over there? What are we wasting our time? No. Because a part of the soul of that righteous person stays in the grave forever. And when you come and ask him, please help me, bring my prayer directly expressed to Hashem, because Hashem loves you much more than me, because you're pure and holy and you did 100% what needed to be done, then please be like my lawyer. Bring my prayer and my request to Hashem. I have a lot of reasons why Hashem will delay accepting my prayer. That's the secret of going to Kivrot Tzadikim. So a part stays there. Then when a person goes, if Hashem decides to reincarnate him in a new body, sometimes one person can be divided to two people in the same generation. In his previous life, he was one body called Shimon. Now he was reincarnated to two different people. A part of him is in Yosef and a part of him is in Yitzchak. Not only two, it could be in 1,000 bodies, the Ari says. Ari was the greatest Kabbalist in the last 2,000 years. So he says one person can be divided to 1,000 bodies. That, by the way, explains how 600,000 Jewish souls became millions later. How we have 13.2 million Jews. There is only 600,000 original souls. That's it. So how they became millions? Because they can split to few bodies. I'll give you an example. Moshe Rabbeinu, he is a reincarnation of Hevel. Hevel was killed by Cain. Cain was reincarnated in a body of Yitro, and in another body, in the same generation, who? The Egyptians that Moshe killed. The Egyptians that was beating up the Jew, and Moshe saw him. And the Torah says, Vayach Moshe et HaMitzri, so Moshe killed him, without touching him, by the Shema Meforash, by the special name of Hashem, the 72 letters, which is the real name of Hashem, the highest holier name. Moshe killed him and buried him without touching him. But who is Moshe? Hevel. Who is this Egyptian? Cain. So now it's a reverse transaction. He killed him now, the other way around. But not only that, Cain owed Moshe something else. What? One of the reasons that Cain killed Hevel is because Cain was born with one twin, and Hevel was born with two beautiful twins. So remember, there was no brother and sister yet, because it was way before the Torah was given. So it was permitted to live with your sister. Nobody knew that it's something forbidden. So Hevel had two wives, which is his two twins of him, and he has only one. He was jealous. So he killed him because of that. So Hashem says to him, your punishment is that you will be reincarnated in a body of this soldier, the Egyptian soldier, and a part of your soul will be in a body of Yitro. And what's going to happen to you? And one part of your soul, you will get killed, like you killed, measure for measure. And on the other part of the soul, you will give Moshe, which is Hevel, your brother, from previous life, a woman. Since you killed him because of a woman, Your punishment is that you have to give him a woman. Who's the woman he gave him? His daughter, Tzipora. His daughter, Tzipora. You understand? So this is how it goes. You understand? Sometimes a soul can be split in few different bodies. Then, because the demons are made only with fire and air, they are able to fly like angels. What makes us not able to fly? The fact that we have water and sand in our ingredients. Water and sand are always going down. Sand is the ground and water always going down. Wherever the water is going to be, it always looks to go to the lowest place. And you cannot go higher, you have to go lower. So therefore, the demons are able to fly. And when they fly into different places, they are able to hear the futures. And they are able to know what we call the horoscope. The signs, we have 12 signs, and depend when a person was born, what's going to be his future. They are able to know things that we here cannot know. But they don't know for a long time. They only know for the short period of time. They cannot tell you what's going to happen in 10 years from now. Or 20 years from now. They can tell you what's going to happen in the next few days. What exactly is death? That the four foundations of a person are separated. Once the water, the sand, the fire, and the air are separated one from the other, it's like you're able to take the ingredients out of the mixture, that's death. So the body, the sand, goes back to the ground. The water of the person evaporates. The fire, it's a spiritual thing, it's gone. Fire, it's very interesting, because fire, if you have a candle, from one candle you can make millions of candles. And no matter how much fire you're going to take from it, it's still going to stay the same fire. Just take... Technically, if it was physical, if you have, 1 pound of fire, so now you took another torch, you took half from it, it should be half and half. And then a quarter and a quarter. It doesn't go that way. You take from it, it still stays 1 pound of fire. You take more, it still stays. You can make millions of torches, it's still the same amount of fire. It's interesting. No matter how much you're going to take from it, it stays the same. Unlike sand, unlike water, but with air, it's the same thing. You take as much as you want, it's not going to end. It's always going to be more. How they eat, these demons? They lick water from the top of the lakes. They smell the fire, the smokes that comes out of the fire, it's something that they need for their existence. That's, by the way, explains what the goyim used to do. All kinds of smoking and sacrifices, all these things, because it calls the demons. If you see African blacks, they have all kinds of black magics. They have fire for this, fire for that. It goes by them from hand to hand, tradition. He does it, he got it from his father, that got it from his father. In the times of Avraham Avinu, used to be many, many people worship to all kinds of things. Part of the things the goyim used to do, the Gemara speaks about some of these goyim, that they used to make the demons swear to do certain things for them. He takes control of a demon, and the demon becomes his private servant. And he does this for him and this for him, which we don't know how to do these things. They also eat from what people put seeds in the ground. A part of it, they go and eat. They also suck blood. Blood of people that spills, they come and suck from it. Hard to understand. I'm just telling you some of the secrets that the Torah told us. How many demons we have in the world? Much more than human beings. So if today we have 6.4 billion, we have way more demons, a lot more. Sometimes it can be more than 1,000 around one person. If the eye of a person would get permission to see them 1 second, הייתה נטרפת דעתו. His mind will go crazy. He will never be able to function. A person that walks alone in empty places in the middle of the night, he's subject to get damaged by those demons. A person that goes to sleep inside construction, broken house, something that, or new construction, or a place that there's no mezuzot, if they're alone, there's no light, completely dark over there, and he sleeps over there, things can happen to him. Because in those places, they are stronger, and they are attacking the person more than in the city. That's why in the time of the Torah, they used to go always twice, two people, not one person alone. Two at night, because there was no light in the streets like today. When there's lights, they run away, they don't come. That's one of the things, when a person has a baby and the baby sleeps in his crib at night, make sure there's always a little light in the room and the window is a little bit open. If it's closed and there's no light at all, you're going to come and see sometimes the baby is smiling in the middle of his sleep. He's laughing. Move him right away. That means one of the demons is playing with him. Now, dreams, there are two kinds of dreams. There are real dreams that come from Hashem, and there are dreams who come from the demons. How do you know when the dream is real or not? Dreams that happen towards the morning, before a person is supposed to wake up 6, 7 in the morning, usually are more real than others. Dreams that starts in the middle of the night usually goes after what you thought during the day, or yesterday, or a week ago. It's still in your brain. It's in your subconscious. And when you sleep, it's all get mixed in your head. And it makes you think. Some of the dreams that we have is when a person eats a heavy meal and go to sleep right after. If he ate a lot of onion and garlics and things like this, spicy food, it has heat. It creates heat inside the stomach. And this heat adds steam. It's like steam. You know, when something is hot, you see steam. When a person sleeps, the steams go towards the brain. Unless if he sleeps on high pillows, then the steam doesn't go into the brain. But if he sleeps normally, these steams from the heavy food goes into his brain and move things around inside the brain and create all kinds of dreams. Sometimes the dreams don't make any sense. These dreams, obviously, it's also not real. How do the demons make the person dream? They go inside his ear. They enter the ear. They go all the way inside and they begin to talk to him certain things that they want him to dream about. They tell him. They pretend they are somebody. They look to him like a rabbi, like a person that he's known. He can look like his father. And this is all baloney. This whole dream is nothing. And Rav Yehuda Ftaya, about 60 years ago in Israel, is a student from the time of the Ben Ishchai. He was a very, very holy spiritual rabbi. He used to take dibukim out of people that had an extra soul in their body, used to remove it, taking care of all what we call crazy people, where they're not really crazy, they just have two different souls in a body. So he used to be an expert in those things. Not only that, when he used to close his eyes in the middle of the day in yeshiva, 10, 20 minutes he was napping, and open up his eyes, and he had a book. It's called Ruchot Mesapro. If you read it, you don't sleep for 1 month. 1 month you cannot sleep after you read it. He was able to write things from court of heaven with names of people. Some of the people is people that used to live in their town. One time there was a dream of a person, and he told him that one holy rabbi came and told him all kinds of things that didn't make sense. Cannot be that the rabbi told him such a thing. And Rav Yehuda Ftaya told him, it's not this rabbi, it's a demon. And he was able to prove, testing him, all kinds of things, that this dream was all fake. It wasn't really the rabbi. It was a demon that pretend that he's a rabbi. Therefore, it's very difficult to rely on dreams today. You can have the best dreams, you have no idea if this dream is real or it's one of them. I know it's very confusing. There's so much to learn and to know. Most of it is Kabbalah, and we don't mess with these things. We don't learn it. Not everyone can just go and sit and learn these things. The more you deal with it, the more it's going to drive you crazy. There are many people who went into Kabbalah and they were not in the right level, and after a year or two, they became completely crazy, these people. They started to do weird things. They started to have all kinds of fears from all kinds of things. They behaved very weirdly. They couldn't get married. And some of them even committed suicide. Why? You have to be pure to deal with these things. If you're not, if you're filthy spiritually and you touch with these things, they take revenge against you. Yes? It's hard to know. Some of the dreams that repeat a few times, they are more real. Dreams that come towards the morning, they are more real. Certain things that come, we know in the Gemara what they mean. The Gemara says, if you see Shema Yisrael in your dream, it means something. If you see Sefer Torah, it means something. If you see a camel, it means something. If you see you climbing on a mountain, if you see you going down from a mountain, if you see you wearing a certain color clothes, the Gemara gives a list. Even those lists, we cannot rely on it in this generation. The whole year, the generation used to be, the messages were more clear. There were more communication, clear messages from Hashem. The level of the people today are not in a level for Hashem to come and tell us things in a dream, even though it happens also in this generation. I want to tell you from experience. One time, I have one of my sons, when he was 3 years old, he doesn't speak anything. 3 years old. All the other children, age 2, already speaking. This son, age 3, doesn't speak anything. We started to think, maybe there's a problem. You know how it is. People get nervous. You take him to a specialist. You go here, you go there. He checks him. He says, he doesn't look that he has any problem. No autism, none of these things. And it's hard to explain why some kids, it just takes slower for them to begin to talk. We don't have an explanation. Everything is fine. Blood test, this, everything is fine. Then my wife was telling me, I want you to check the mezuzah in his room. So I told her, where you came from now, the mezuzah? We have the best mezuzot in the house. I make sure I bring mezuzot from Yerushalayim. We bring the best mezuzot. What do we have to check his mezuzah? Was checked by another rabbi, by computer. I don't have to check it. She said, no, I'm telling you, I had a dream that there's a problem with the mezuzah in his room. Go check. What do you have to lose? I still didn't want to do it, but, you know, I see that she said she had a dream. I say, you know what? What do I have to lose? Let me see. I come to the mezuzah. I open the screw from the bottom to pull it out. I'm trying to pull it out. I see nothing comes out. I opened the entire case. There's no mezuzah in it. Empty case. What happened when we put the cloth inside the boxes? One we missed. And that one went to his room. Guess what? I put mezuzah. A week later, he was speaking fluently. Fluently. The teacher calls. What's going on here? A week ago, he couldn't speak one sentence. Now he doesn't stop talking a second. Maybe I should have put the mezuzah a few years later. But I knew he's going to talk so much. He's now talking for all the years. He didn't speak, yes.
Okay, what do you have a dream that something will happen and then it happens?
Yes.
How do you explain that?
Sometimes it happens, and this is messages. Usually it happens to us about other people. Sometimes we get a dream about what's going to happen to another person. Yeah, and he dies. Now, if you dream that someone is die, you have to let him know that you had this dream, that he has to make tshuva. Why? On the chance that this dream is real. Remember, we don't know for sure. It could be a demon. Sometimes they enjoy to scare us. The Kabbalist says one of the things the demons enjoy the most is to scare people in their dreams. That's their fun. They also need entertainment. What are they going to do? There's no Super Bowl for them, no tennis, no vacations. One thing they want to like, it's to make people scared. Sometimes a demon knows that this person is going to die. I know one guy, and I'm telling you, this guy is more than reliable. Tzaddik. He told me, I have something about me that I don't know how to explain. Sometimes I hear something is whispering in my right ear, the name of a person. If he whisper in my right ear, something great happened to that person that day. If they whisper his name in my left ear, that day that person died. It happens to me twice already. That I hear someone is whispering a name of a person in his ear, 2 or 3 hours later I hear this person died. What is it? Could be it's these demons, I don't know. And this person is more than reliable and is perfectly normal. Sometimes it's not demons. It's souls of people who died and they come in a dream and they communicate with us. Sometimes the communication is very authentic. For instance, they say, I hid money under the ground next to the tree in the backyard. And then you go and you dig over there and you find a vault of money over there. This is in a dream. Sometimes the dead person say, I borrowed a book from a friend when I was in an elementary school. I never returned it, and I'm suffering a lot because of it, because I never returned that book. Please go to that person. The book is on the shelf. Give me back the book. And he goes to the book, and he sees a book. He goes to that person. He says, is this yours? Yes. Wow, I've been looking for this book for 10 years already. Where did you have it from? My father borrowed it from you. He came to me in a dream to give it to you. This has happened hundreds of times. Why? For whatever reason, Hashem gave them permission to communicate with their sons. Yes?
I have a dream that a person passed away recently, and then they tell you in a dream that they said, David heard this person, but you don't know who that person is. They give you something, but you don't know that person.
Okay, first of all, it's a clear message here that this person, something is supposed to happen to him, and you are able, with your prayer, to help him out. Why you and not me or him or anybody else, we don't know. But if you get such message, it's much better than getting the message like I get every minute on my text. Every minute I have a text message. I open it here, even now. Text messages. Oh, this time is from somebody else. Yes, I do. Yeah. So sometimes what happens is that, you know, people leave messages, pray, say Tehillim for this, say Tehillim for that. You don't know all these people, so you try to include them in your prayers. But sometimes if you know the person, yes.
But what if this person came to you because they know you would listen to them? Could that happen if someone passed away? They know that you would be the one to listen. Is that what they
could mean? Could be. The dead people wants to communicate with someone that will pass their message. So if they have 9 children and 8 of them are lazy and not serious, they're going to come to the one who is serious and going to do what they want. It's not going to come to one that will think about it and say, okay, Dad, leave me alone. I had enough when you were alive. Yes?
What if you have a dream, like you're being killed, and then all of a sudden you just get up from your own neshama and you watch yourself being killed? What is that supposed to mean?
Some of the dreams is kaparat avonot. Righteous people have a lot of bad dreams. It cleans some of their sins, because the dream is really real. By the way, you should know, if you ever wonder how hell can burn a soul if the soul is not physical, how a person can be burned in hell, his body is right here in the grave. The soul goes to the next world. The soul cannot be burned. How can you burn a soul? So the answer is, the fire over there, the burning, is not what we think. It's exactly like in a dream. When a person dreams, the longest dream, they say it's 9 seconds. Some say 2 minutes, 3 minutes. Everyone agreed that the dream is very short. It's moments. How a person dreams 6 months of events. When he wake up, he's crying. What happened? I dreamed I was in the ocean. They threw me to the sharks. Every day I got beaten up. Such cruel robbers. They wanted ransom for my life. I was in jail for 12 years. How? You're only sleeping for 3 minutes. Where 12 years came now? 12 years of suffering from morning to night. Conversation. He can tell you hours of conversation that he had in the dreams with those criminal terrorists, whatever you want to call them. Where does it fall in 10 seconds of a dream? So the answer is the soul, it's not physical. And it's not binded to time like here. Hashem can take a soul of a person, it's like simulation, like a simulator. And it's like plugging it into like a download or something, and the person really feel 500 years of Holocaust, Auschwitz, 500 years, when really in reality it wasn't even 1 second. But he doesn't know. He feels it at the present, 500 years of suffering for all his sins. That's hell. That's what it is. Same thing heaven. Since the body doesn't exist, it's only the soul that gets the spiritual pleasure that Hashem promised to the righteous Jews in the afterlife. When Hashem needs time, time exists only in a place of material. When there is no material, time works in a different dimension. And we have no understanding to know how it works. But one thing we know, that for us, we only go by what we feel. That's what's important to us. So really, after 500 years of suffering, if I'm only going to know then that it was really only 2 seconds, what does it help me? I really suffer for 500 years. Or if I enjoy for billions of years of pleasure when in reality is really nothing because time doesn't exist, it also doesn't matter. Yes?
How many dreams do you have at night?
You can have a lot of dreams at night, but usually you don't remember besides the last one. You just remember the last one. Sometimes a person have every few seconds a new dream. Many dreams. Yes?
Can the rabbi explain to you what deja vu is?
Deja vu is an event that reminds you a scene from your previous lives. Which means you go and you see somebody say something to somebody and it reminds you that you already heard that, or you see a place that you already recognize. That means that in your previous reincarnation, your previous life in a different body, you either heard the same conversation in a different body, but it's the soul, it's all recorded in the subconscious, everything, from all the reincarnations, it's all recorded in your subconscious, everything. Every little thing you saw on the floor, it's all registered. Or it could be that you were in that place. I had a neighbor in Israel, a neighbor, her parents are Holocaust survivors, and she one time decided to go to Germany to see the places where her parents used to live. So when she arrived to Germany, to the area where, when she landed in a place, in a train station, from the train station, she knew right away the entire town. So she told her friend everything. And the friend testified that she basically recognized the entire town. She knew how to walk, she knew what store is going to be here, and what road is over there, and she knew that in the next streets there's going to be a few houses. She knew everything. She knew where the lake is. Why? All of a sudden, she saw the place, and she remembered that she used to live here 78 years ago, in that town, you understand? In a different body.
Is that some kind of glitch? Or can anybody experience this?
It can happen. It happens usually to everyone, because in 78 years that we live here, most likely we're going to run into similar scenarios from previous life. If it never happened, it never happened. Yes?
Is it true that you can see ghosts through the mirrors because they have portals?
I never heard of it, no. Yeah, okay, all right, time is running out. I have another lecture. I would love to stay longer and answer your questions. If you want to know more about dreams, please go into my website, divineinformation.com. I have the last lecture on the list is dreams. It's more than 2 hours. I cover it from A to Z. Also, there's other lectures that I spoke more about demons and angels. You can get the rest of the information over there. Thank you for Emet and Emunah and Zechariah and Yaakov and for all the efforts that they put in. And thank you to this great community. See you again soon. Thank you.